Now, this is a report, and this report is necessary for all of us who gathered under the sound of my voice this morning for you to hear and hear clearly that the sun will shine in the midst of a storm. It's in the natural order of things. Even though storms may come and the fury of the temples of the storm may rage, but after the worst storm, the sun will shine. And church, we all have seen for ourselves at one time or another, we've seen the sky grow dark. We've even seen the sun, we've seen flooding, and you know it, but and we saw the sun hidden from view. We've heard the thunder roll, and our eyes have seen the lightning flashing. We've heard the wind howling, and sometimes we've seen in the course of our storm all of the damage that it done. But after the worst storm, after all of its devastation, the sun was shining in and out. And I've come to discover, hear me when I tell you, that this holds true not only in the realm of nature, but it also holds true in life itself. And those of us who live long enough can testify that there are real storms in life. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? And I think I need to tell somebody this morning that there is a distinct difference when it comes to the storms of life. You see, the meteorologist will come over the television and the radios and he would warn us about natural storms. Yeah. He gives us time to prepare ourselves to get ready for that storm. Talk back to me if you can. But we don't have a meteorologist there, no weatherman. We don't have nobody who will come over the airways and warn us about the storms of life. Because the storms of life can come up and hit you without any kind of warning. And before you know it, we are in the midst of a furious storm. And I think I need to tell somebody here that the storms of life is a reality. They are real and they strike constantly one individual after another. And I've learned early in life not to rejoice when other folks are going through their storms. Don't you get happy when somebody else is experiencing a tribulation in their life, because our time is surely coming. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Storms will come and knock on your door. Help me, Holy Spirit. And you open the door and sometimes they just run through your house. But sometimes storms will come and knock on your door and they're carrying a suitcase, meaning they're going to stay there for a while. So don't you get happy when somebody else is going through a storm. The storms of life will separate the spiritual man from the little boy. Yeah. You'll be able to tell who's who in the time of a storm. Am I right about it? Because everybody can handle a storm. And church, in order for you to reach your full spiritual potential, you got to learn how to handle. You got to learn how to endure life storms. Now, it's a known fact that into each life, some rain is going to fall. Am I right about it? And there might be somebody in here this morning that is saying, I've never been through any kind of a storm. So this little sermon that you're preaching right now, brother, you're really not preaching to me. Well, for all of you who are storm-free, I need to keep up. I want you to do me a favor. This little sermon that I got right here, put it in your freezer, and when the storm comes in your life, just pull it out and don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Because there's a storm coming and it's got your name on it. Oh, but for those of us who have lived long enough, we know that you are either coming out of a storm or you are in a storm, or you headed into new paradigm this morning to tell you the storms of life don't have to break you. The storms of life don't have to steal your joy. It's possible to keep your faith and hold on to your joy even in the midst. Are you listening? In our text this morning, Jacob's son Joseph, y'all know the story, found himself in a series of life-threatening storms. And the first of his storm came as a result of a family member in his own family. I wish I could have some help in here this morning. The church, that tells me that some of your worst storms are brought on by people who you call pumpkin, boo, darling, sweetheart, members of your own family. And you know, nobody can hurt you more than a member in your family. I wish I had one or two more witnesses in here. And here Joseph's first storm was called by his own brothers, all because of this thing called jealousy. And jealousy was the motivating factor behind their storm. Now listen. I can deal with jealousy in the marketplace. I can deal with jealousy in the state capital. I can even deal with jealousy in the neighborhood. But when it creeps all up into your house, when it creeps all up into the ranks of your family, causing family members to become jealous of other loved ones, and that's a terrible thing. But church, one thing that's disturbed me more than that is when jealousy invades the church. Even the church is not exempt from this thing called jealousy. It can cause you to have the worst attitude towards people who really ain't done you anything. Talk back to me if you can. I'm gonna preach it and I'm gonna go on back to Bugle, so they don't worry. Folks who would join the church and make it their minds up that they're going to work for the master, and we got folks who've been there for a long time getting mad talking about they trying to take our church. Ain't nobody voting in this church, so who they think they are? And it's all because they're working while other folks are sitting down complaining. Listen, we need to guard our hearts, our minds, our spiritual character against this thing called jealousy. Well, let me tell you, don't take my back, Cain, and tell the members of New Prism about your jealousy and how you kill Abel, your brother, because of the sacrifice he made. You come here, Saul, and tell how you got angry at David because the women were saying Saul killed his 1,000, but David killed 2,000. Your jealousy is a spiritual killer. It will alter your personality and it will change who you really are. Joseph's brothers had a serious problem with the relationship that he had with his father. And scripture tells us, I'm not going to hold you long, I'm almost through, that their jealousy turned into hatred. And the dreams that Joseph had didn't make it any better. Joseph dreamed that they were all in the field binding shears of wheat together. Y'all know the story. And Joseph's shears of wheat had grown up above the shears of his brother, and his brother's shears bowed down before Joseph's shears. Now, church, there are some folk who will hate know when God has his hand on you. He has disdained you and he has guarded you for greatness. Come on, talk back to me. When God impregnates your mind with the dream, when God gives you a dream to carry out, you got to some folks who are dream bastards. But can I tell you, God will take care of that. Folks don't they want to crush you and crush your dream. They don't want you to dream. They want you to stay right where they are in the same old, same old. And yes, his brother, his family members plotted against him and decided that they would kill him and throw him into a pit and go tell the father and lie to the daddy. A beast attacked him and killed him, and he is the proof. Sin will take you further than you really want to go. Y'all ain't praying with me, okay? And to rectify the wrong is, come on, Bible readers. One of the brothers said, let them kill him because he is of our blood. Let's just throw him in a pit and then we'll come back and sell him into slavery. What man meant for evil.